Is it ever right in a marriage to have an open relationship? That is, hey, I'll remain married, but I want to have a boyfriend, I want to have a girlfriend, I want to have other lovers. Of course not. And yet that's exactly the attitude that the Northern Kingdom of Israel had. How faulty was their thinking?
Welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We believe the Bible is true and relevant to everyone, everywhere, every day. Thanks for listening, and let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hey friends, welcome back. Glad that you're here for our episode in Hosea chapter number 2. We are talking about this family, Hosea's family, and how God used their respective names and their reputation to send a larger message to the nation of Israel. Because in the illustration, Hosea serves as an illustration of God himself, and Gomer, the wife, serves as an illustration of the nation. The individual children really represent the individuals that are in the nation. Because when God sometimes brings national chastisement, that does not necessarily mean that every single person that's in that institution, that's in that nation, is not right with God. Sometimes the group, an individual, suffers because of the group's identity. And I think we all understand that principle. So look, if you would, at Hosea chapter 2 and verse number 2, where it says, "Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife." So here, plead with, by the way, means bring charges against. We would say indict her, indict your mother. So if the Lord is saying your mother, to whom is he speaking? Well, he's speaking to the children of that mother. So in this sense, he's speaking to the individual people in the nation of Israel to say, hey, plead for your nation, bring charges against your nation. Your nation is doing what's wrong. It's living in sin. Now, remember that when Hosea gave this prophecy, it appeared that the nation was doing great. It appeared that the nation was economically prosperous. It appeared that it was geographically expanding. It appeared that everything was going great. But when one looked at the nation through a spiritual lens, what did he see? He saw that they were engaged in idolatry, apostasy. He saw that they were engaged in immorality, as typified by the way Gomer was behaving to Hosea. And so bring charges, because while she might look pretty, while she might look winsome, while she might be attractive to all the false gods, she is living in immorality. And so it's incumbent upon the children, the individual citizens of that nation, to look at the nation and say, this is not right. I wonder sometimes if we're not guilty of that in our own nation. That we're happy and we just assume that God must be happy with us as long as the economy is good and inflation is down and our job is secure. And that's not the way to look at it. In fact, we need to be looking at every institution, whether it be our family, whether it be our church, whether it be our nation. We need to be looking at institutions through the lens of spiritual discernment. And that's what God is calling for here. So bring charges, plead with your mother, plead. So here's what God says, for she's not my wife. She's not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Remember, lo ami, not my people. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Now I understand that that's a pretty frank language. But the point here is this. You don't think that just because things are looking good on the outside, or that you're popular, or that judgment hasn't fallen yet, that somehow that means you have a pass. No, I see the nature of your behavior, and I call it for what it is. It is prostitution. Now, we understand that Gomer was physically a prostitute, but what God is getting at here is that when a nation, when a people group forgets God, her husband, when the people of God are not showing solidarity with God, are unfaithful to God, then that is spiritual adultery. Remember what James said in James chapter 4? He said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So the point is that spiritual adultery is a real thing, and God takes it the way a husband would take it if his wife committed such atrocity. So here he calls out the nation and says that individual citizens ought to call out their nation on issues like this. Look at verse number 3. "Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst." So God says to the children, hey, talk to your mom. Tell your mom that she's wrong. Recognize the state of this nation. Do something about it, because if you don't, then I will. And what I will do is, the clock is already ticking, as we have seen. What I will do is I will bring this nation to shame. This nation will no longer be able to brag about its economic prosperity or its geographic expansion or its the way other nations talk about it. No, there's coming a day when it'll be brought utterly to shame. And of course, all of this happened. All of this happened in 722 BC because they did not bring charges against mom, and the nation did not repent, and things did continue to get worse and worse until finally they were brought to shame. How sad. Didn't have to be, but it was. Would you see verse number 4? "And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms." So here's your chance, individuals, to say something, to do something about it. But if you don't, then what you're going to essentially do is bring judgment upon yourself, because you're seeing it. I'm telling you, you can see it. So don't just pretend. Don't put your head in the sand. Say something, do something about it. Don't be silent, because silence is complicity. Speak out. Do something about it. Pray. But don't just go about your business and enjoy, well, I guess that's just the way things are nowadays, and that's just the way it's going to be, and, you know, who am I, and what change can I make? No, no, no. We all have a responsibility to pray, to stand, to speak up, to represent our Lord. And so God is bringing all of that to light here in Hosea chapter 2. Look at verse number 5. "For their mother hath played the harlot." Again, the mother here represented by Gomer, which really represents the nation as a corporate entity. So verse number 5, "For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said..." Here was the rationale of the mother. Here's the rationale of the nation of Israel. "I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore," so let me just stop there. "I'll go after my lovers because they give me all of these good things." So why was Israel behaving the way she was? Why was Gomer, physically speaking, behaving the way she was? Because it was working out for her. She's like, hey, I'm having all these lovers and they're giving me all these nice gifts and they're lavishing me with all of these supplies and it's great. You know, and I might know back in the back of my mind that what I'm doing is wrong, but the gifts are so good. And I might have a little bit of guilt about the way that I'm violating the trust of my husband, but look at all the good I'm getting. Look at all the benefits. And he's still my husband and he's still paying my bills for me. So it's like the best of both worlds. I can have my husband and I can have all my lovers and I can have all these gifts. And so I'm going to play it both ways. And that was the rationale that Gomer had. That's the rationale, God says through this illustration, that Israel has. That somehow I can retain my relationship with my husband, but I can play the field. So I can have my cake and eat it too. And what the Lord says here is, no, that is not the way it works. God is unwilling to live in an open relationship. No, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you entered into a relationship with God, that is not an open relationship. That's an exclusive relationship. It's not God and, it's God only. And that He must sit upon the throne of our heart. He must be the object of our heart's affection. But boy, when our mind, when our will, when our emotions, when our actions wander, and we excuse it because it's good for me, it's good for me, then wow, what a foolish choice we're making. Now, I don't have time this episode to talk through, you know, so how does God respond to this? People that just want to say, you know, I want God's provisions and I want the marriage contractually to stay in place, but I still want to have my lovers and have my open relationship. What does God do when we have an attitude like that? We'll answer that question next time. Until then, God bless you, my friends.